Sabbath blessings, everyone. Do you hear me clear? Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, so before we start, I invite everyone to please kneel. If you can, we're going to pray. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are so much thankful for this Sabbath day, for gathering us. It's really a privilege to be with each other, Lord, praising and worshiping your holy name this Sabbath day. And we thank you for your holy presence through your Holy Spirit, and by continually inspiring us to love and serve you more, and continue in the faith. And thank you so much, Lord, for blessing the children and the adult study that we had earlier. It's really full of lessons that we need to learn. And we also uplift to you all the spoken and the unspoken prayer requests of your children that, you know, they will be answered in accordance to your will. And today, Lord, in this moment, please bridle my tongue as I speak on your behalf. And forgive us, Lord, for all the sins we have committed against thee. May you Grant us peace and joy as we receive your promised blessing this Sabbath day. And for we ask all these things in the best of our ability in the name of our loving Savior Jesus Christ, our Lord and King. Amen. Amen. Right, so I prepared a slide I want to share to everyone, but I have also a note link that you can click so you can follow along. Okay. So I'm sharing my screen now. Our topic for this Sabbath is more than and conquerors. It's a common topic found in Romans 8:35-37, but it is essential for us to review these things. Okay. So, more than conquerors. As everybody knows, the word conquerors means, according to Webster Dictionary, okay. It means one who conquers, one who gains a victory, one who subdues and brings into subjection or possession by force or by influence. The man who defeats his adversary or opponent like in a combat and like the general who defeats his army. So if you look at this meaning, we can find in one example is found in Revelation chapter 6 verse 2. This is under the first seal. Okay, and this the only word we can find the word conquer, conquering and conquer. It says here, Revelation chapter 6 verse 2, and I saw and behold a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. So the prophetic symbol of a rider on a white horse going forth conquering and to conquer perfectly represents the victory and success of the gospel during the first century of the Christian church. They are actually invading the kingdom of Satan. And the white horse symbolizes the vitality of Christian faith, representing its purity, power, and strength. That's why in Psalm 147:10, he says, he delighted not in the strength of the horse. So we can understand that the great controversy between Christ and Satan, between good and evil, has been going on for thousands of years, right? But praise the Lord, Jesus, our commander, our king, he has conquered the prince of this world. That's why in John 16:33 and John 12:31, he said, these things I have spoken unto you, speaking also to us, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. John 12:31 says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. So, we know that Satan is a defeated foe. And we as Christians only need to trust in the captain of our salvation. Who is that? Jesus Christ. Jesus who conquered sin for us through his death. He gave us the friendship of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. He became our perfect example. He shows us the beauty of heaven. He opened our eyes, the eye of faith, to see how marvelous things are there. So we will be assured that victory is ours, and know that the remnant church, us, will fight the good fight of faith under the banners of Christ as a terrible army. That's why Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 2. Song of Solomon 6:10 says, "Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners?" See, our God has called us to be holy, to love Him. This is the principle of holiness. So each one of us, each member of the church, need to be strong Christians. Remember, we have learned this before. So to be conqueror, again, is very essential to our salvation. It is really needed. That's why we are talking about this. Okay? In Review and Herald, August 1, 1893. Review and Herald, August 1, 1893. This is in paragraph 13. It said here, "A chain is not stronger than is its weakest link." We might pronounce such a chain good on the whole, but if one link is weak, the chain cannot be depended on. The work of overcoming is to be the study of every soul who enters the kingdom of God. And this represents each one of us. We represent each chain. So we have to be strong. It is true that we cannot escape persecution in this world by following Christ and living a godly life by God's grace. In fact, we may be hated. We may go to prison. We will suffer trials, difficulties. Or if God willing, we might face a martyr's death if God chooses that for us, because we embrace the faith of Jesus. But as we have learned in Timothy chapter 3:12, 2 Timothy 3:12, it says here, "Yeah, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And in 2 Timothy 4:95, paragraph 2, this is our salary. We surely need to expect to escape trial and persecution in following our Savior. For this is the salary of those who follow Him. He plainly declares that we shall suffer persecution. And our earthly interest must be convenient or subservient to the eternal. So be happy. Be of good cheer. Because Jesus, our Lord, has overcome the world. He overcome the enemy. And we can do the same thing through Him. If, it's conditional, if we just believe. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 15:57, it says, "But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Praise the Lord. So the question is, why should we feel weak? Why should we feel down when God is on our side? In fact, the Apostle Paul have this comforting words for us found in Romans chapter 8:31. It says here, Romans 8:31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Okay, 35. Who shall, 35 to 37, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And in verse 37 says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You know, I'm really glad that winter is almost over. Right? It's just only days left. Because it's kind of hard for us who are not used to cold weather, right? It's really hard. But God is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient. Praise the Lord. But the spring, summer are coming. Praise the Lord. But, you know, using this as an object lesson, we can say that some people are called summer friends. Why? Because they leave us when things get hard in the winter. You know what I mean? However, Christ's love is made even stronger by the fact that no matter how bad things get, and the apostles list them many, they will never change his love. Like tribulation. What is this tribulation? It means any kind of trial or suffering that comes from outside sources. Distress means a lot of mental stress or worry, like when, let's say, a person doesn't know where to go or what to do for relief. It refers to mental distress or anxiety. This actually, the experience of the early Christian, when they often felt this because they were going through trials and persecution. That's why in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 5, it says here, for when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. So I think during the time of trouble, we're going to experience this. We will have no rest. There will be mental distress. But we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings. Within were fears. But did that distress separate them from God? No. In 4SP, Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 4, page 40, paragraph 2. In the experience of the early Christians. Under the fiercest persecution, these witnesses for Jesus kept their faith unsullied. Though deprived of every comfort, shut away from the light of the sun, why? Because they are in the cave, making their home in the dark but friendly bosom of the earth, they uttered no complaint. So, no complaining. Yeah, it's time to practice this. With words of faith, patience, and hope, what they did? They encouraged one another to endure privation and distress. That's why we are here, each one of us. We have to encourage one another, not to down. The loss of every earthly blessing could not force them to renounce their belief in Christ. Trials and persecutions were but steps bringing them nearer their rest and their reward. And you know what is the object of this trials and persecution, brothers and sisters? Why is this permitted to us? Huh? Yeah, that's our salary, right? In 4SP 350, paragraph 1, it says here, the Lord permits His people to be subjected to the fiery ordeal of temptation. What? Not because He takes pleasure in their distress and affliction, but because this process is essential to their final victory. He could not consistently with His own glory shield them from temptation. For the very object of the trial is to prepare them to resist all the allurements of evil. In other words, the Lord allowed us to go through these fiery tests, hard tests, because they are necessary to our final victory. And we are blessed instead of discouraged. Why? Because in Matthew chapter 5, verse 11, Matthew 5, verse 11 says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Brothers and sisters, you know, everybody here, we are daily exposed to danger. The attack of the enemy is left and right, front and behind. But the more painful the trials and persecutions are, remember, the stronger and more unwavering our love for Him, because we have confidence in us, in His ability to save us. We all know persecution has different forms. According to 4SP, 4SP 428, paragraph 2, says here, persecution in its varied forms is the development of a principle which exists as long as Satan exists and Christianity has vital power. No man can serve God without enlisting against himself the opposition of the hosts of darkness. That's why, who is the target of Satan now? It's you, us, the remnant of our seed. It says here, evil angels will assail him, alarmed with his influence, is taking the prey from their hands. Evil men, rebuke by his example, will unite with them in seeking to separate him from God by alluring temptations. And when these do not succeed, then a compelling power is employed to force the conscience. That sounds familiar? The forcing of conscience, it is prophesied, the mark of the beast is coming, to brothers and sisters. But the world are rebuked by our godly example. Later on, we're going to be branded as terrorists. Our holy life, our Christ-like example will be a constant rebuke to those who hate the truth. Remember that? But the most challenging form of persecution, you know, is the discord within our own home. Discord. That's why the discord app. I told Pastor Nick, I'm not really fan of that app. It's full of discord. It doesn't really sound good for Christian to use that. Maybe that's just me. But again, this is the most challenging form of persecution, is the discord within our home. When the separation from those close to us, why? Because we follow the Lord. And this was declared by Jesus in Matthew chapter 10, 37 to 38. Matthew 10, 37 to 38. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. So nor ties. Our love to God is primary. He's the first. He's above all. The earthly relationship is only secondary. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followed after me is not worthy of me. And this is supported by the Spirit of Prophecy in AP 128, paragraph 1. When he said to us, Jesus has not left you to be amazed at the trials and difficulties you meet. Yeah, why? Because his grace is sufficient for us. He has told you all about them. And he has told you also not to be cast down and oppressed when trials come. That's why he has a map. He presented it to us before we go walk in this path. You will encounter a lot of obstacles ahead of time. So what are we going to do? Look to Jesus, your Redeemer, and be cheerful and rejoice. The trials hardest to bear are those that come from our brethren, our own familiar friends. But even these trials may be borne with patience. One brother texted me last night, the other night, he said, brother, please pray for me because I just posted about, you know, you don't have to involve in politics like that. And one close friend of mine become offended. And now they are what? They are like strangers because of that issue, because of the truth. So, but this one, this kind of trials, that's just one example, but this kind of trials must be borne with patience. In times like this, different experiences we encounter every day, each family, each individual, members of the church has a peculiar trials that you encounter. Only God knows, and you alone. So in times like this, let us encourage one another to endure without murmuring and complaining. Much like the early Christians did. Yes, the coming crisis is rapidly coming. It's so fast. Look at what's going on now. Look at the prophecy in the news that we are reading. So we need to come together, side by side, to advance the cause of God. In Pacific Union Recorder, December 5, 1901, Article A, Paragraph 11, PUR, it says here, those who are called to endure the hardest trials, to bear the heaviest burdens, to meet the greatest difficulties, are those whom God trusts. So please pray for each other, especially the frontliners. The attack is too much, but pray for each other. The Lord said of Paul, I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. It's not a trial we make for ourselves, nor the persecution we bring upon us by our own course that counts, but the trials and persecution we endure for Christ's sake. That's why, you know, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, all these things, are we gonna allow this to separate us from God? When we find ourselves no more, let's say, bread, no more food, all the necessities of life are totally gone because we follow Christ, and when our livelihood is at stake, even our life, that we can no longer buy or sell during the mark of the beast, when it is in force, are we going to fear of imprisonment and death? Are we going to give up our love and faith and compromise to obey man rather than God? But Paul said, nay, we are more than conquerors of all this. So again, brothers and sisters, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Because we must have completeness of victory. Yes, some may defeat their adversaries, their enemies. But you are more than conquerors because you overcome both yourselves and the enemy. And ourselves is our greatest enemy. Some may destroy their enemies and their resources, but we are more than conquerors because we turn our enemies into tools that help us further advance the goal we fight for faith. That's why true victory is not something found outside of ourselves. It's not external. It's not short-lived, but it dwells within and lasts forever. That's why it is eternal. Romans 3:3-5. For what if some did not believe? When we share faith, some don't believe, or my family members doesn't believe you, or what? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? The question. God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. So our faith requires diligent work. We must work to save souls. We must wear the complete armor of righteousness. We have a work to do as a church. 5D 395, paragraph 1, the church is to conduct an aggressive warfare, to make conquests for Christ, to rescue souls from the power of the enemy. God and holy angels are engaged in this warfare. Let us please Him who has called us to be soldiers. Each one of us are soldiers of Christ. And Christ told us about this fight and how to win it. That's a good thing. He said in Matthew 11:12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. So Jesus, that we find the kingdom of God within us in Luke chapter 17, 20-21. Luke 17:20-21 says, when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Yes, God's kingdom is within you. It's within us. And what is the meaning of violence? Take it by force. It means using all our strength in fighting sin and forcing our way into heaven with all the willpower that God has given us. That's why in the Youth Instructor May 24, 1900, paragraph 5, it says, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. And this violence takes in the whole heart. So the battle is within us, in our heart. To be double-minded is to be unstable. Resolution, self-denial, and consecrated effort are required for the work of preparation. The understanding and the conscience may be united. But if the will is not set to work, we shall make a failure. Like for example, you know that the Sabbath is the seventh day, but your will doesn't really like to observe that day because you have to work. You have to earn a living by breaking the Sabbath day, by working on the Saturday, the seventh day. But you must use your will. Otherwise, it will be a failure. Every faculty and feeling must be engaged. Remember, faith and feeling are different. Ardor and earnest prayer must take the place of listlessness and indifference. Only by earnest, determined effort and faith in the merits of Christ can we overcome and gain the kingdom of heaven. Determined effort. So faith and works, combination of faith and works, that's the formula of gaining the kingdom of heaven. Our time for work is short. Christ is soon to come the second time. Soon, dear brothers and sisters, we will find ourselves unable to freely share the gospel. Even online, offline. So we need to arouse from our spiritual sluggishness, so that the Holy Spirit, the large measure of the latter rain, will fall on this church. We must enter the straight gate. Satan are placing his agents along our path to hinder us in our Christian walk. That's why he's encouraging each one of us. In letter 16F, 1892, paragraph 22-23, paragraph 22-23, letter 16F, 1892. Christ has encouraged his followers to not be intimidated. No fear. Instead, press on. Move forward. Urge your way through. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Luke 13:24. So many like to enter, but they don't have the will. They don't strive. It says here, darling, cherished idols will have to be given up. Darling sins must be given up. Because this sin is so precious, I could not let go. Well, it's now time to put that darling sin away. Even if it comes as close as plucking out of the right eye or cutting off the right arm. We have a brother in the Philippines who I think I can share that if Pastor Nick will let me later during the fellowship. You know, he's a blind member of the church, but his faith really is so strong, and his family asked us when he died recently. You know, the family requested the church to officiate on the service on his funeral. That's how they respected the SDO church. And praise the Lord on that. So, what you're gonna do? Agonize! Force your way through the very armies of hell that oppose your passage. Oh, we must be terribly in earnest to impress upon every soul that there is a heaven to win and a hell to shun. We only have two destinations. Heaven or hell? Which one do you want? Of course, everybody likes to go to heaven, right? But it's conditional. We must have the, what? Willingness. We have to strive. Every energy of the soul must be aroused to force their passage and seize the kingdom by force. We must strive for the mastery. We must endure much tribulation to enter the kingdom of God. We must surrender our wills to God. We must consecrate. We must dedicate our talents to Him, our heart to Him, to gain victory. Entirely. Not half-heartedly. Not partially. Not half-half. 1 Corinthians 9:25 and Acts 14:22, it says, "And every man that is striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." Temperance. So that's why we have this health message. We have to the right arm of the gospel. Acts 14:22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And what is, how can we measure the character of man? It says here in PUR December 5, 1901, Article A, Paragraph 7. True strength of character consists of power of will and power of self-control. So we must conquer. Always submit your will on God's will. Because we know that Jesus, our high priest, where is he now? He is now in the most holy place. He is now interceding for each one of us. But time will come when he will say, "It is done, it is finished." Then all of us will stand before a holy God without mediator. That's why we must maintain our garments. Our walk should be pure, should be clean. Our characters must be cleansed from sin by the blood of Jesus. And how to be conquerors over sin? In Review and Herald, January 17, 1907, paragraph 4, through the grace of God and their own diligent efforts, they must be conquerors in the battle with evil. So it's again, it's a combination of divine power and human effort that we can be conqueror against the evil. And this is the special work we must do for ourselves to purify and put away sin in our hearts. We have to fight. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. laid hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called. Thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So, if we do this, if we fight the good fight of faith, we will come off more than conquerors through Him that loves us. In Ministry of Healing 62, Ministry of Healing 62, it says, a living faith means an increase of vigor, a confiding trust, by which, through the grace of Christ, the soul becomes a conquering power. Faith is a mightier conqueror than death. And for those who believe, this is possible. But for those who don't believe, it is impossible for them. That's why Matthew 17:20 said, Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. So we have to turn our mistake into victory. We need much prayer and faith. As we learn in, as we heard again in our adult study, we have at least 3 times a day to pray. And study our Bible. We must put our trust in God. In 70 to 45, paragraph 2, it says here, work in faith and live results with God. If we have to do all our best, just live the results with God. Pray in faith, and the mystery of His providence will bring its answer. At times, it may seem that you cannot succeed, but work and believe, putting into your efforts faith, hope, and courage. After doing what you can, what you're going to do? Wait for the Lord, declaring His faithfulness, and He will bring His word to pass. Wait not in fretful anxiety, but in undoubted faith and unshaking trust. That's why we have this scripture song. In Psalms 27:14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen up thine heart. Wait, I say unto the Lord. In Ministry of Healing 131, paragraph 2, he says here, obedience to God is liberty from the thraldom of sin. Again, obedience to God is liberty from the thraldom of sin. Deliverance from human passion and impulse. Because feeling is not reliable. Humans are emotional, but God is not. It's by principle. Man may stand conqueror of himself, conqueror of his own inclinations, conqueror of principalities and powers and of rulers of the darkness of this world and of spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12. So, our only safety is in giving no place to the devil. For His suggestions and purposes are ever to injure us. He wanted to hinder us from relying upon God. See, He transformed Himself to an angel of light, to an angel of purity, so that He may, through His different temptation, introduce His devices, His ensnare, so that we may not be able to discern His temptation, His wiles. But thanks be to God. He gave us a spiritual eyeglass discernment to detect his temptations, his devices. But the more we yield, the more powerful his deception will be over to us. One false step leads to another. That's why it's unsafe. Do not tempt the enemy to tempt you. If we give him an advantage, then he will claim more. So we have to resist. That's why in 3 Timothy 482, paragraph 3 says, God has, through the merits of Christ, given us sufficient grace to withstand Satan and be more than conquerors. Resistance is success. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. James 4:7. Resistance must be firm and steadfast. We lose all we gain if we resist today only to yield tomorrow. You start thinking, today, okay, we gain victory, but tomorrow we lose. Or maybe only once a week, only Sabbath. Sabbath day you are holy, you feel so blessed, but the rest of the day, no. So, we must be consistent by God's grace. Resistance must be done every day. Those who are adopted, according to Signs of the Times, September 30, 1903. Those who are adopted into the family of God are transformed by His Spirit. Self-indulgence and supreme love for self are changed for self-denial and supreme love for God. No man inherits holiness as a birthright, nor can he, by any methods that he can devise, become loyal to God. We have to earn it. Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. John 15 verse 5. Human righteousness is as filthy rags. That's our righteousness. So dirty. But with God, all things are possible. In the strength of the Redeemer, weak, erring man can become more than conqueror over the evil that besets him. Jesus said in Mark chapter 9:23. I have two more texts and quotation to share before I end. It says here, Mark 9:23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So, this Sabbath day, as we face trials for these coming days, we must remain steadfast in our love for Christ. We must come to understand that all of us are more than conquerors. And this victory is not due to our own power, not because of me, but because of Christ's unwavering love and bountiful grace, which give us the strength to endure and overcome even the greatest adversaries. Yes, we will be more than conquerors. We will have achieved a full and total victory that is greater than just winning. It will be an overwhelming triumph that only defeats the enemy, but also turns the challenge into a testament of faith and love. And this extraordinary victory is characteristics of those in Christ, because we have a strength that goes beyond what is temporary and short-lived. through Christ, remember, our sufferings are not meaningless. Heaven will be cheap enough if we will obtain it through sufferings. That's why every challenge, every obstacle we face today and tomorrow and overcome, it only adds to the glory of our victory, so that our love for Christ is strengthened by His love for us, forms a solid foundation that remains unshaken by the storms of life. And being more than conquerors, it means having a strong love and faith that nothing can separate us from our Savior. And in 1 T 453, paragraph 1, this is my last quotation. It is only the faithful conqueror who wins eternal glory. I hope and pray that all of us are blessed with what we share this Sabbath day.
Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Daniel. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for the provision you have given, for the sanctification of your church. Thank you so much, Father, for your abundant grace and strength so that we can be more than conquerors in fighting against the power of sin and against the enemy. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son to die for us and live a sinless life to be our example so that we may also live a sinless life through Him who strengthens us. Help us to practice the principles of truth we have learned from you. And show the world that we are saved by grace and sanctified by your Holy Spirit to be obedient to your will. Bless your church, Holy Father. We also uplift to you, Brother James, Lord. There's a tornado warning. May you protect him, Lord, with your hedge of angels. As well as Brother Ellie's place having a wildfire over there, that they will be protected. Those brethren who are just recovering from surgery and those who are sick, we uplift them to you, O Lord. You know what's best for your church, for your children. Bless the plan of the church. Bless all the projects. Bless all the work that we are doing in fighting their cause. Make us worthy before thee, Lord. We know you are soon coming. Help us to dedicate our talents to you. Please, Father, bind us with one accord of love and truth. We ask the fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit so that we may sit together with Christ in heavenly places. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the peace. Thank you for the joy that we felt, because we know by faith that you are in our midst. Thank you for cleansing us from all unrighteousness through the blood of your Son, Jesus, who died for our sins. And through the help of the Holy Spirit, we offer this prayer in the name of our loving King, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.